Blog Talk Radio.
What's your definition of it? How's it make you feel? Tell me what you say that truly makes it real. Kings and queens, philosophers have tried so hard to find. Tell me what it means to you, dear, never mind. Love is kind when the world is cold. Love stays strong when the fight gets old. Love's a shoulder to lean on. Love is you. Love's like the water when the well runs dry. Quench my thirst, keep me alive. Just need one sip, baby. Love is you. 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 Is it possible there is a kiss that's so divine? Or am I just a fool? Is it all in my mind? Is there something chemical a scientist might say? Well, love must be a drug to make me feel this way. 'Cause love's my permission to be who I am. No inhibitions 'cause you understand. Freedom to breathe, oh baby, love is you. Love's like a kiss when the sun goes down. Holds me tight when no one's around. Love's what I wanna hold on to. Love is you. 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 When the chips are down, love will stick around. Oh, I'm so glad I found love is you. Much as I've tried to clarify, love's quite simple, he's just my guy. A perfect definition, love is you. Love is you. Love is you. Love is you.
Greetings, family. This is Goddess Seek Wisdom. How is everyone out there today? I hope you guys are ready for our show today because we have a very wonderful guest today, and her name is Reverend Goddess Charmaine, and I am going to bring her on in just a moment. First, let me check the line and make sure my co-host is on. Let me see. Sister Magic, are you there?
Peace, I'm here.
All right, all right. Let's see here. Reverend Goddess Charmaine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Peace and blessings, sister. How you
Thank
doing?
You. I'm great, thanks.
Wow, I am so happy to have you on the show today. I am so happy to have you on the Sensuous Mystic. What do you know? All right. First, before we get into what I want to start the show off with a little later is a meditation, but before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to be known as Reverend Goddess Charmaine, and, you know, what you do?
Okay. Well, in a nutshell, as quickly as I can put it, I was ordained an interfaith minister back in 96, and in the year 2000, I was initiated as a goddess by Reverend Peter Georges. And my belief as an interfaith minister is really the foundation of my faith is in goddess philosophy and tantra, that our sexual energy is a divine energy and that we empower God, goddess within us through our bodies. So I teach that through one-on-one sessions and group sessions and services. People come to see me for various reasons, whether they're incorporating tantra into their lifestyle or whether they're just coming for spiritual empowerment. It may not have anything to do with sexual energy at all, but it all sexual energy is the vibration that connects us to all living things. And I reinforce that through my work in various ways. And we have a lot of fun. It's just really a happy and joyous way to express our erotic enlightenment through our bodies in a group setting. So.
All right. All right. Well, if you could get us started today with our meditation so we can go into that briefly.
Sure, sure. Terrific.
Select some music.
Okay. Okay. First, I just want to say thank you to both of you, Tara, and your co-host for allowing me to be on your show and to share what I have with everyone through prayer and meditation and everything else that we're going to be doing today. All right, everyone. If you find yourself in a comfortable position, wherever you are, just let, you know, your breathing bring you into this vibration that we're all sharing together now. And that's simply just by breathing in through your nose, and out through your mouth. Breathing in deeply through your nose. Exhale completely out through your mouth. The light of God surrounds us. The love of a goddess enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of a goddess watches over us. Wherever we are, the God goddess is. And all is well. Angel, angel, angel. And so it is. And as you're breathing in and out, just allowing your body to relax and just feel the wave of your breathing. Just allow yourself for a moment to be thankful. Thankful for the process you're allowing yourself to go through today. And also just to thank your body. Thank your body for being with you all these years. Your body is your living temple. Allow yourself to bless it. Now as you're breathing in and out, I'd just like you to bring your attention to the color red. And see the color red as much as you can. And now, visualize the color orange. See orange. Yellow. Green, sky blue, indigo. And purple. See purple as much as you can. Good. And just notice how your body's feeling. And now breathing in again deeply. Breathing in and holding it. Exhale. Breathing in again and holding it. Exhale. Once more, breathing in deeply and holding it. Exhale. When we breathe in deeply and hold it, the holding of the breath balances yin and yang energies. Good. Now feel your feet on the floor, stable and secure. In your heart center for a moment, just simply say to yourself, I love myself so much. I love myself so much. I love myself so much. Focusing at your feet, feet on the floor, stable and secure. Now just riding the wave of your breath, allowing yourself to be thankful for this process, and thanking your body for being with you all these years. Your body is a holy temple. Allow yourself to bless it. Now gently, just bring your attention back to this group. Open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you. And so it is.
All right. That was a wonderful meditation.
Cool.
I hope everyone enjoyed that as much as I did. I just want to say thank you for everyone in the chat room. Ajalumna, DIY Diva, Kissed by Ra, Quest for Truth, Reverend Majati Baruti, and Mommy Sarud. Thank you guys for, thank you gods and goddesses for coming today and, you know, being in this time and space for us to be here together. All right, let me see if I can, you know, let's get into, we talked earlier, and it was a lovely conversation. We almost started to get into the radio show before it was time. So I wanted you to go ahead and speak to whatever your, you know, your heart is telling you to speak to in terms of Tantra, life consciousness, erotic consciousness, you know, what have you. What do you want to share with everyone today?
Okay. hey, everyone. Well, you know, I can just tell you some personal things as to why I've chosen this lifestyle and also in the way that it's helped others. And, you know, it's, I've done everything I could, and I'm sure all of us have been there in our lives where we want to live what we consider right by our family standards, by society standards. And I'm a very kind-hearted, good, supportive person. And as a child and going into having relationships with people, I've always tried to adopt, in a sense, what the person needed, the way I was told I was supposed to live. Yet I always had this other feeling like, there has to be more to this. You know, you ever have that? Like, there's got to be more to living than just this.
Yes.
You know, and the issue with me, I'm an Aries, so I always had questions. And oftentimes I was told, you know, a child should be seen and not heard. Well, this is what the Bible says, and that's it. And I'm like, but how can I live a life where I'm not allowed to ask questions or even involve to a point that maybe I can decide that that was the wrong, that isn't for me, if I'm always being told how to live, you know? So I ended up in my life really trying to adopt what I was told, how I was supposed to live sexually, spiritually, with my friends, and still having questions about that because it wasn't fulfilling. As a young person, I knew that I deserved to be fulfilled in my life, and it wasn't always happening, even when I did everything that family and lifestyle told me to do. Eventually, I ended up... you know, I just loved going to church as a young person. I found myself having the same feelings I had in church when I started to have sex. And I was like, okay, is that what it feels like when, you know, I'm in church and I'm shouting and I'm praying and I'm, like, having sex and this feels the same way? And I really started to ask questions in Bible study about sex. And I got to a point where the minister had to tell me, you know, you can't speak in church anymore if you keep talking this way. You know, you can't speak at Bible study. You have a good spirit of interpretation, but yet, you know, I had this other vibe with it about sexual energy because I was connecting it. Still didn't understand that it was Tantra. And then from there on, you know, graduated, went to college, you know, did normal stuff and got married, had children, and, you know, my ex-husband now, he was Catholic, and I even went to become a Catholic. It didn't matter to me where I fellowshiped with God. I just always wanted to. So it didn't matter to me to becoming a Catholic. But what I started noticing was I was still having these feelings about sexual energy and connecting it to God, and I spoke about that often. It seemed like the more I became self-aware and self-and empowered, the more it bothered those around me, where it's like I couldn't be controlled. And I started to notice that this way I feel, I really need to tend to that, and because when I didn't, I found myself in unhealthy relationships. When you try to adopt someone else's consciousness or lifestyle, you really are losing a sense of yourself. When we choose relationships with others, it should be a divine relationship. Divinity is free will. And I was discovering, you know, I have the words for it now, but back then I didn't. And so I started to lose myself in trying to be the way my husband wanted me to be. And when I started to become more and more empowered, I saw that it didn't make other people happy. But yeah, I started to find more happiness. Eventually, I was able to get out of a very unhealthy, abusive marriage. But what really did it for me was when I went to the priest and I said to him, you know, I'm having problems in my marriage and my husband's hitting me and I, you know, how do I get myself together here? And the priest said, let's pray for him. And I, at that moment, I realized, who's going to pray for me? That's what I've been doing.
Yes.
And at that moment, that's when I looked in the mirror and I asked to be saved. I went home and I looked in that mirror at myself, and I'll never forget it. I looked in the mirror, I looked into my eyes, and I saw like a million of me in my eyes. And it was the image of me, like, before I was 210 pounds. Before I gained all this weight and really went demonic on myself. And there was that image in my eye. I was still there, and it scared me. But then I repented at that time. I prayed and I asked for forgiveness for what I had done to myself. And I really got into my body and taking care of it. I started meditating. And this is just because my doctor said, you have to learn how to breathe. And so I went to the library and bought a tape on breathing. So that eventually led me to being able to become strong enough to get out of my marriage. I started reading more alternative books, even though I was seeing what I consider a straight therapist to help me cope with things. And then I got into another relationship, and I asked this partner, I said, don't you think more should be happening in sex? And he's like, well, I think I know what you're talking about. I'm talking like 15 years ago or more. He's like, well, someone gave me this book. And he didn't really know what it was about. But he said, I think this is what you're talking about, because he studied Zen, and, you know, we vibed off of each other. And then it was The Art of Sexual Ecstasy by Margot Anon, and I read through that whole book. I didn't even know that I was saying the word chakra. I was calling it chakra at that point. But we practiced all the exercises, and from that moment, as soon as I started really aligning myself up and, you know, really becoming stronger and stronger, it seemed like everything just started rolling and rolling. And I just went on from there. I started studying Reiki. I was helping a clinic and a center in Manhattan dealing with people's sexual problems as a surrogate. Then I went into seminary. And after I was ordained in seminary, I'm doing spiritual counseling and running groups. And I'm fast-forwarding some here. And then I started seeing a spiritual counselor because everywhere I was going, people were, like, really responding to my energy. And I felt I would end up in all types of conversations with people rather quickly where people just felt, we felt open enough to share a lot of personal information. And it was happening everywhere. People just wanted to talk to me and tell me things that were going on. And I found myself in conversations with people and talking and sharing and offering hope in all kinds of ways, especially sexually. And then this Reverend Georgia saw this energy on me when I was going around doing different, you know, developing my practice and stuff. But it was like, whoa, this aura. He was recognizing this aura as goddess. And I was like, okay. Now, it's funny that he would say that because when my kids are small, even when I was sabotaging myself at certain times, I'll always say, the goddess is here. I would say, I'm the goddess of this land, you know. And so when he said that, that's what I remembered. Like, there was always pieces of me throughout my life, even in struggles, where there was this other spirit coming through. And eventually, after 6 months of counseling with Reverend Georges, we started studying a lot of the ways that goddess consciousness, or the way a woman would rebirth herself as goddess through ceremonies. And so we created the ceremony. And I was, when you do a ceremony of ordination or initiation, or even like a ceremony of marriage, it's where two or more are gathered, and people witness you going through a ritual, and they acknowledge you as that, and you are like crowned. And we went through this. It involved fasting for several days and shaving, and, you know, and people came around and they witnessed me going through this goddess ceremony, and I reemerged from Charmaine to Reverend Charmaine to Reverend Goddess. And then from there on, I continued to study. I studied with Margot Anand. I studied hypnosis as well as Reiki, and it all culminated into the way that I present my work now. And but it came through a lot of suffering, but always that nagging spirit coming through as far. When I say nag, I mean like a conviction. There's something else going on here that I'm not allowed to tap into. And once I allowed myself to tap into it, I had to move into more alternative ways of doing that. And then, but yet truth demonstrated itself, and it roller coastered. I just went with it. And my life became better. My kids became happier. And I'm just thankful that I was able to find a way to stabilize myself in a way that gave my children a very good environment. Tantra, the way I teach it is also the way I live. So I speak very freely and openly about sex and nudity and how this is incorporated into what inspires me spiritually. And so, you know, having this kind of lifestyle, and people are saying, people make jokes, my friends, you know. I say, you know, hey, I'm Reverend Goddess, Mother Goddess, Ghetto Goddess. Just depends on the time of the day. I'm always Goddess.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So, you know, they bug out on me. Like, my one girlfriend said, you know, Charmaine, you know, we're moving and we're going to have a painting party because I need my place painted, but you can't be naked. I'm like, well,
what?
Don't invite me. Don't invite me. So they know me.
You know?
You can't be naked at the painting party, Goddess. Come on. I said, well, you know, I didn't really want to paint anyway. What's the fun of painting if we can't be naked? So my point is, this is really like how I am, and these things that I do, when I became a nudist, it empowered me to hold on to my body, to accept my body, and because being raised, you know, when I was a young girl, I was a dark-skinned black woman, you know, there were so many issues around color and shape and being teased. All of this I had to embrace this in a way that was radical because of the way I suffered with it. So all these things helped me, and then I turned, use what my gifts are to help others, whether it's 10% or 20%, whatever Goddess wants me to do, I'm here for that. And it's demonstrated itself in my life and in others' lives through the groups that I do.
Wow.
And the way that I also love, you know, personally as well.
You know, you just mentioned a word that I think is the reason why all of us are here, love.
Yes. Well, love, you know, love is life force connected to all things. And that vibration that connects us to all things is sexual. We have an attraction. It's not genital. It's sexual.
Right. And see, that's the thing a lot of people misinterpret, that sexuality is just yoni and lingam, or vagina and penis penetration. That's not it.
Right. A sexuality is our sexual consciousness. It's like our body spirit. And if we limit it to genitalia, it becomes more profane and not sacred.
Right. Can you speak on what would you say to young women who are just, you know, trying to get to know themselves and maybe having a hard time with that, and how they deal with men that sometimes may, you know, take advantage of them because of their situation? Is there anything that you would want to have, you know, young women know in respect to sex and sexuality and how sacred they are?
Well, you know, I have two children, and my daughter is 22, and my son is 19, and I can only answer you through this way, because my work is mostly with grown-ups, adults, or whatever, past whatever age, and raising my daughter this way, sitting her down and having conversations about her body and watching her do certain things with kids that were not you know, sexually going to help her in having this knowledge with her has been really hard. And one thing I think is very, very, very important is self-love.
Right.
We have to teach self-love. I was raised to try to be what the society or others wanted me to be more than I wanted to look in the mirror and see, who am I? I think before we get into any kind of relationships with other people, we have to have a sense of self and self-love. And that's really what I focus on a lot when I talk to people about this, and I for my kids as well. What do you want, I would say to my daughter. And she didn't know what she wanted.
Right.
I said, let's get into this. I mean, I would have, at the dinner table is the best place to have all kinds of conversations. And my kids, they bug out on me for years. They'll tell you right now, first of all, don't ask mom a question because it takes her 20 minutes to answer. But mom, you know, but then I'm like at dinner, listen, I have this new Kama Sutra book. There's a great meditation in it. Okay, mom, you know, I talked about masturbation at a very, when they were younger, to really help them understand that
have to.
And we parents, we cannot be shy or ashamed, or even if we're learning right now and we have kids, we have young people that vibe around us, we have to acknowledge certain things that are going on. Now, other children and what I speak about is more PG, but with my kids, I speak with them clearly about what I mean. And very important, before we're sharing ourselves with anyone else, we got to get into self-love. We got to get into knowing what we like and what we don't like. You know, and love, the forms of love, isn't necessarily about the feeling I have about myself so much as the consciousness, knowledge, respect, responsibility. You know, carrying the forms of love is knowledge, respect, responsibility. And, you know, it gets into a place where you decide for yourself what I call righteous judgment, what is appropriate for me. And so when young women are coming and the women that I work with, even that aren't even young, are starting to develop a new relationship with themselves, I spend a lot of time talking about self-love and what it means in consciousness, you know, what it means in my body, then what it means in my yoni. And once we get that going, then we could see how another person can blend themselves with us, you know? And so you got to have knowledge, you got to care for yourself, you have to have respect, and you have to be responsible in the way that you're loving yourself. And that's what I really think is very important for the girls that are growing up here, because we really possess the goddess energy before we're even invoking it in the male or any other person that we're dealing with. And if they don't have the sense of that, they're going to be fumbling around. Some guy's going to be playing with them between their legs. They don't know how to feel about that. And if they have any positive feelings about that, they feel guilty. You know, I mean, there's so many stages of development that goes on in young women's bodies where our energy is so expansive in a circle that we pick up a lot of psychic vibrations of the people that we're involved with, different from men. So I would say, you know, self-love, and those kind of forms, what I see about myself, how I think about myself, how I feel in my body. Then you incorporate the genitalia for that and to feel pleasure in that. Then you can get a good sense of what you're doing with others so you know what you like and what you don't like.
Now, if you could touch on Tantra by yourself. The reason I'm asking you this is because I've heard numerous people speak about Tantra, and in most cases they are male. And from their perspective, not all, but some that I've heard, say that you cannot practice Tantra by yourself. And like we just finished speaking about, you don't have a clear understanding of what you like and what you don't like if you don't practice Tantra by yourself first.
Right. Tantra is the word for uniting sex and spirit. Okay? So Tantra is a state of mind. It is a consciousness. Okay? And so just in consciousness alone, I don't see how you wouldn't want to first develop techniques. See, Tantra is techniques as well that you do to invoke and support your consciousness of sex and spirit. So my individual practice of Tantra is having a relationship or if you want to say, a ritual of how I love myself. All right? And it's in various forms. It's in exercising. It's in eating well. It's in the way that I self-love. If I don't know how my body responds to pleasure, sexual pleasure, I'm pretty much going to be, like, going crazy, or, like, you know, the first time I had sex, my knees hurt because I didn't know how to relax. I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I knew what was going on, but, you know, until I really started becoming more comfortable with my body is where I started to have more sensations in my body. So a lot of your meditation practices can incorporate these types of erotic touches or breathing techniques that raise your vibration so that you, when you are with a sharing love, you and the partner can go into what we call more of a eternal ecstasy together. But what is my focus of eternal ecstasy if I don't bring myself there as well? Because remember, just because your body, you are physically alone, we're still connected to all life. So you're still sharing this energy with everything that's around you. You don't have to have another person in front of you to develop a tantric relationship with your own body. So, you know, I think that's not fair to make a person feel that they can't develop a tantric lifestyle unless they're doing it with another individual.
Okay. My next question is, how did nudity or being a nudist play with you being comfortable with your body and things of that nature? How did you respond to that when you first started it, and how did others respond to that around you when they knew that you were doing that?
Nudity started before I even became fully tantric, in a sense, because the first time he took me to a new beach, I stayed dressed. Even though I had a swimsuit on underneath, I was like, everybody's naked. And he was real gentle. He took off his clothes. He just laid there and, you know, read and everything. I sat there and read, and I'm just looking around at everybody, having this kind of odd feeling. And then towards it later in the day, when people started to leave, I got undressed. And then I got up and I walked into the water. And I had a tremendous feeling about this. I felt very cleansed, actually, too. And I remember staying in that water for a while, and then I got out of the water and laid down on the blanket, and I felt empowered by the experience. Thank goodness that I did, because it helped me to start to look at my body in a way that was very appreciative to me. And I feel more comfortable naked than when I put clothes on. When I put clothes on, that's when I'm looking at what I think is bulging out or what I think is too flat. Rather than when I take everything off, I don't have any of those thoughts at all. So in the beginning, when my boyfriend and I finally took me out there, and then my friends, and I told my friends and family, because I started taking my children, they were very young, to the new beaches as well, because a lot of families were out there with their kids. So we made lots of connections with other people, but my mom and my brothers and my girlfriends, they were like, first they were just bugging out. They're like, you're crazy. Oh, my God, I would never be naked in front of people. And they kind of like made fun of me in a way, but there was a sense I felt from them, like almost like, whoa, we kind of, a couple of them were like, I would go with just you if there was nobody else, you know. So some of them, they were like, kind of wish they had that kind of nerve or courage. And then some of them like, you crazy. No. Nakedness is just between me and this person, whatever. I'm like, that's all good. Then I started to really find myself desiring it. And then I incorporated it in my lifestyle, where, I mean, we didn't just go to the nude beaches. I became an at-home nudist. And for me, just to be able to take off my clothes and walk around my house and sit down, you know, that was actually really challenging, because my kids learned they had to call home before they brought home company. It's been some scenes. So, and I didn't know, I was just doing it. I wasn't even really like, oh, yeah, the kids are going to be home from school, and they were walking the door. My daughter would be like, Ma, I'm like, oh, I'm cooking at the thing, you know. And sometimes cooking can be a little dangerous, depends on what you're making, you know, you put a little T-shirt on. I've had all kinds of experiences. But for me, when I was naked and walking around, it was self-acceptance. It was something in my head clicked about being okay, being naked. Like, I don't have to cover my body. Like, not having to cover my body said something to me that healed me. It had nothing to do with genitalia. It was nothing about I want to have sex with somebody. So that started rolling itself around. And then when I started, you know, learning more about tantra and the nudity, then it just really raised my vibration up when I started discovering more ways of having pleasure with myself, and then cultivating that into the way that I meditated. And then it really became very goddess, very strong. And when I say goddess, I mean like goddess is in my body, it's in my mind, you know, I pray in that way. Then I started to change, and that's when my friends and family became a little nervous, and they started to say, what's this tantra? What are you talking about? That's not how we see God and everything. And then something started to really happen in my relationships where people ended their friendship with me if I was going to start speaking this way. And well, they did. You know, I lost friends. I was trying to find churches and stuff where I could go to where people kind of were more open, and unity was helpful for me back then. But I did, when I really became very tantric and started living my life this way, I lost a lot of very, very close friends. And one of them has come back in my life now, but the other ones have not. And they just think that I'm not right, you know. And I know I'm right because the Lord speaks to me, and God has shown me every day by the choices I make that demonstrate truth in my life brings to you the original blessing of prosperity. And through that, when my body, the way I love myself and take care of my body, but being naked and discovering and being tantric in the way that I even have, like, really, like, honest relationships with people. It's not about hurtful relationships. It's about honest relationships. We hide a lot of what's going on, even with us sexually, to be with people. So even though those people left my life, the people that have come into my life are my soulmates. They've all come into my life through tantra. Either they came to groups of mine, they came to services, and some of them sought me out privately, and then some of them, I always say I stole them because we befriended each other and we just fell in love with each other. And that's tantra. That's what it does. And so I've had a lot of good in it as far as the joking of the nudity, but the people of my past with tantra were very, they just didn't want to hear that you connect sex with spirit and you walk around naked and you masturbate and you praise God. What the hell is that? And so that's me. My ex-boyfriend used to say, if a man starts praying, you want to spread your legs. I was like, hint, hint. Let's start praying.
Start praying.
I'm telling the truth. I don't know. It just turns me on. you know, we all want a nice spiritual man. You know that. Don't let them shoot. Start talking about God, goddess. And if they know and they honor the goddess, all of us in our relationships, we it connects right there to the sex center, and you get, like, aroused. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Once they know what God is, you know, mm-hmm. You can be praying too.
Mm-hmm. Because we are praying when we're making love, so that's really what it's about.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everything we do and say is a prayer. So.
Yeah. Yes. So that's, you know, and that's what's gone on in my life as far as, you know, I wrote my book. When I wrote, I self-published a book of mine, The Sensuous Mystic, and, you know, the first shipment that came, I sent it to all my friends and my family, and it was the best thing I could have done because they actually read it, and it gave them a really clear account of what's going on with me. And I remember my sister-in-law coming to me. She goes, no, Charmaine, I really didn't know what was going on with you. I understood what you were trying to do, but reading your book has helped me know you. And that really wasn't my purpose, but I did know when the books came out, let me send this to my family. And they really gave them a really good idea. And they were really, my mom was like, you do that? You get naked with all those people? You, what? You know, she's like, fucking hell. But she was like, I don't know where you come from. I don't know. I said, no, Mom, just like you, you just don't realize, you know, the strength
right.
that this woman has. But I just taken it to another level. So it's been very helpful to be able to kind of heal or answer some of them questions, their questions they had about me through the book.
Okay. Now, earlier when you were speaking, you mentioned controlling. I forget the actual comment you made, but I think you were speaking, I guess, in reference to controlling and religion and sexuality of some sort.
Mm-hmm. I probably was talking about when I started to really know myself and have a lot of self-love, I became very empowered. And when you become empowered, you know, and you start making your own mind and making your own decisions, people, they can't control you anymore.
Right.
You know? And that started to bother my ex-husband. It started to bother people. Wait a minute. When they tell me I can't speak in church, because every time you talk, you get some things riled up. That's about control. You know? And so, yeah, you know, we're programmed in our society. And as we take alternative methods to heal and take back our power as women, as men, as individuals, as spiritual beings, it shakes up the status quo, the normal vibration. And that is triggered through our self-love and self-respect and our rituals that we do for each other. And I don't mean ritual, like it's not always about lighting a candle at an altar. But just waking up in the morning and you have things that you say to yourself, if you make your morning coffee, if you do your yoga, whatever it is that you do, it's about love, self-love. And that empowers you because when you do these things, you're empowering yourself and you're invoking, you invoke the spirit, your consciousness. And then that shakes up the people around you that don't like that. You know, people just run around here. How can she sit up here and run around naked with people talking about she's erotic enlightenment? What is she doing over there? And then they come and join.
When we came into this world, were we fully clothed?
Of course not. Hey,
when women give birth, are they fully clothed? And
no.
When
they were outdoors too when they did it.
To have a baby or
right.
to make love, are they fully
clothed?
Are you fully clothed?
Exactly.
I mean,
so we really aren't supposed to be separated from nudity in the spiritual aspect, but our programming has done that to us, you know, for various reasons. And it began in the church, you know, originally. And this is not about, you know, right and wrong so much. It's about understanding how we bring ourselves back into wholeness. Where our joint, like together, we're having this conversation. This is a choice that we've made. It's not about, okay, you know, Reverend guys, you call at 2:00, you call this number, this is how we're going to do it. That's not control, that's guidance. You know, that's support, so we can get our word out there. But people say to us, you have to call this way, you have to do it that at that time, and they take energy away from you.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute.
It's like even if someone is telling you the best thing on earth for you, because they're saying this is what you have to do, and they take your free will away from you, you automatically rebel against it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yes, I want to do it or no. Even
yes.
if you know it's the best, you want to be able to have that choice.
Well, that's why I became an interfaith minister, not because all the religions I follow, because of our right to choose the way we want to fellowship with spirit. That's why I became an interfaith minister. I said, I think I have a right to pray that I pray. How are you going to tell me religious tolerance? How about religious respect? You know, are you going to be tolerated by me? Wait a minute. I should have a right to honor you for your faith and to be honored because of my faith. Not respect it. You know, not about anything else. That's why I said, okay, interfaith minister or non-denominational, however they call it. And that's what we've done. You know, in this kind of work that we do, the community is coming together to support people's faith, a different faith. And I don't mean fundamentalism. You know, I mean honoring the way a person practices their faith. You know,
I
think that's that reason. You know, it's not about doing it or being programmed so much. It is about fellowship and self love.
That is why, as we discussed earlier, this is your first of many shows.
I hope so.
What you are doing just by you talking right now to everyone who's listening live, you know, on another website, either on blogtalkradio.com/BlackWomaniverse, or whether they're calling in listening, and for the people who are listening in the archive, what you're saying is helping people. This discussion we're having is helping people, you know. And like I said, this should be the first of many. This is just an introduction for Reverend Goddess Charmaine. Our call-in number for those who want to call in and have questions is 646-716-7675. Again, that number is 646-716-7675. And you have to press 1 on your keypad on your phone so that you will show up on the switchboard. Now, let me go to the chat room. We have a question. This question has been in here for a while.
Okay.
The game fanatic. Where is the new beaches she went to?
The one I love the most is in Long Island, Robert Moses, out by the lighthouse. You would go, like, to Jones Beach, and you continue all the way down, and you go into the area they call Robert Moses. And the area that was nude is the lighthouse. And then the other one is Sandy Hook in New Jersey, Gunnison. I like Robert Moses better, but that's more of a trek for me. So I go to Sandy Hook because it's closer. But I really love the vibration at Robert Moses because a lot of kids were there as well.
Wow. I think that's wonderful.
It was really cool. My daughter, you know, she was like, you know, 5 and 6 running around. My son, you know, running around naked and having fun because it's natural to them.
Children do not like clothes.
Yeah, no, they don't. When you're changing their diaper, the first thing they do, they get up and run away.
Right.
You know, and start laughing. And then, but the only time for real, though, when my daughter turned 12 and she started going to adolescence, she started saying, everybody's ugly here. I was like, oh, let's take her to Belmar, you know. And so we started, when she started getting into identifying sexual, you know, actually identifying with her yoni, she started to have a different, like, vibe there. She started to feel a little weird. So we would switch. We would make arrangements. We would switch and go to nude beaches at other times. When the kids were older, we'd take them down to Belmar. So, you know, I was aware of that for them. And also for my son as well. My son never really said anything. Like, he loved going. So that's the, any other questions?
Well, I have some more questions, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to go to the phone lines. And Brother Majadi Baruti, I see your question in the chat room, and I will get you that information you just asked for. Let's see. I'm going to go to my co-host.
Yes?
Sister Black Magic, do you have any questions or comments for Reverend Goddess? Hold on one moment. Okay, go ahead. The phone was, line was still muted.
Oh, I just find it really inspiring. The part that I've just been remembering the whole time is from the beginning when you were describing yourself and how you had to look in the mirror and ask yourself for forgiveness. And that's something that's going to stick with me. I really like that.
Thank you. Yeah, really, it really happened. I mean, isn't it a trip? You know, you would go outside of ourselves for so much, and then all we have to do is look inside, and that's where it was. Thank you.
All right, let's see. We have a caller from area code 678. State your name and where you're calling from.
Okay. Hi, this is Brother Majadi Baruti.
Hello.
I was actually just listening in,
okay.
So I apologize. But, sister, I do want to say that I think that the work and the message that you're giving, honoring the Most High, honoring her, honoring the power that she offers, the glory that she offers, the grace that she offers, the beauty that she offers, and the salvation that she offers, because it is my belief sincerely that it is only through the African goddess, through the goddess, that we will be saved. It's through the womb that the entire planet Earth subsequently will be salvaged. Mm. And so I think that you're doing this is splendid. I mean, I'm learning things that I've never, some things I've not heard before. I was interested in the tantric concept because I have, like, no idea about that at all, not even remotely.
Really?
This really basic information I have. And so a friend of mine, she suggested, she said, well, brother, you need to really listen in on that, particularly with what you do. So I want to thank you. And also, I told the sister that I do want to get your information so that you could come to our program as well.
Speaking of which, Brother Majadi, could you just let Reverend Goddess Charmaine, as well as our listeners who aren't familiar with you and what you do, could you tell us what you've been doing and what you continue to do great works at?
Thank you. I'm honored. Humbled as well. I'm amazed at how often the goddesses open up to let me into places that men are not allowed to go, and men shouldn't be allowed to go, in my opinion. I am Majadi Baruti. I am the administrator for Wuja Temple Ministries. We are a congregation, a new congregation that is being established. I've just been ordained. And we are seeking the spiritual liberation of African people through the worship of the African goddess. And I started this work a little over a year ago, and it has grown magnificently by her grace. As I said, it's my belief that the African goddess is the original womb. She is the creator of the universe and all things within. I have a program that we do on Wednesdays between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. called The Roof Garden. It is the online broadcast ministry for Wuja Temple Ministries, and I would love for you, Goddess Charmaine, to come to our program and to speak with our congregation. I would really love for you to honor us with your presence there. So
wonderful.
I will I'll go ahead and get off the line and get whatever information I can from you.
Okay, terrific.
And we'll go from there. So I honor you, and I honor you, goddesses. I honor the sisters that are listening, and I honor the brothers who are bold enough, bad enough, and brave enough to understand that she is our mother, and we must bow our heads to the womb in order to be saved.
God is blessing.
God bless the blessings as well. Thank you very much.
See? See, it happened as soon as you started talking. Got me all turned on. Lord have mercy. Isn't that great?
Okay, we're going to check one other line. This is a Skype caller or a private number. Could you state your name and where you're calling from? One area code. State your name and where you're calling from. All right. I am going to look in the chat room. Okay, someone wants to know your internet information. Could you give your website information or any other contact information? And I will also put it in the chat room.
Terrific. My tantric site is www.sensuousmystic.com. That's SENSUOUSMYSTIC.com. I also have my Rev Charmaine site, www.RevCharmaine, CHARMAINE.com. My sensuous site has all information about Tantra and my erotic gatherings, and I also write Full Moon Goddess Erotica. And my Rev Charmaine site is talking about I give prayers and affirmations every full moon and updates on spiritual life groups that I conduct as well. And also weddings. That's my site where I do a lot of my wedding stuff. I write and officiate weddings and baby blessings and, you know, all that good life-changing stuff.
Are they good life-changing stuff?
They love my goddess stuff. I mean, it's just, you don't tell, we're not going to talk about the nude wedding right now. That's another story. That's why they call the goddess, you know.
I want one.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I mean, I do straight stuff too. You know, I mean, I am licensed and ordained to marry, but a lot of people find the goddess because they want to have somewhat of an alternative wedding, or they want like three or four rituals going on during the ceremony, you know?
Yes,
and they love it in
wonderful.
The goddess's name. They want it in the goddess's name.
Yes.
That's what they're doing, you know?
Wow.
So that's me, Sensuous Mystic and Rev Charmaine. You can also, if you go to YouTube, you type in Sensuous Mystic or Reverend Goddess, you'll see my videos as well. And then you'll find me.
All right. Let's see. We have another question in the chat room. How did you open up to be comfortable for other people to see your children naked?
Well, my kids, when I took them to the nude beach, they're babies. They're just like all the other families that are out there naked with their kids running around. That was completely fine. When my daughter started to go into adolescence, though, and we were at the nude beach, when she started saying, ooh, everybody's naked, there was a person there on the beach that I noticed was sexualizing my daughter. He was looking to see how he was looking at her. Whenever she would get up to go run into the water, he would get up and go into the water. And I told my boyfriend, my boyfriend approached him, and she thought she was budding. She's beautiful. You know how our little girls are. And so we said, you know, we need to protect her. Because we may be completely okay. Some people are going to the nude beaches probably to steal energy from others by looking at them and being inappropriate. So I stopped taking my daughter especially, to the nude beaches until she was of an age where she would decide whether she wants to go or not. But when they were very, very young, you know, young children are doing what their families are doing, and they had just as much fun on the beach as we did. I didn't have any issues until my daughter was, you know, 12, and someone was looking at her that way, and we stopped taking them there. And just me and my boyfriend would go alone when the kids were with, you know, the dad or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Sex and spirit connection. How can you explain it in, I guess, in layman's terms, how the sexuality and spirituality is one and is connected, and that is us?
Okay. And it's really good that you've asked that question, because one thing that's very important when we get into spirituality is an active relationship with God, Goddess. Okay? That means we use our faith, what we are inspired by, with the way that we live our life. Sexually, this is going on through experience. So just to have knowledge or to read a tantric book or even just to listen to this radio interview isn't going to be enough unless you apply and to have an actual experience in your body of that connection. And a really great way, I believe, is through meditation, where I say certain prayers to myself. And that sacred middle, our sex center, is what I call the sacred middle. And when you place your hand on your sex center, and then when I say sex center, some people just want to get into the whole thing in the pelvic region is really the sex center, but I'm making it more deliberate, directly at the genitals, where you hold your yoni, you hold your lingam, and you place your other hand on your heart, okay? And you hold that sex center, you hold your genital, you place your other hand at your heart, and you really, through a movement when you breathe in and you exhale and you raise your hips up on the exhale, that is a direct link. The hip roll is a direct link to connecting your sex center to your heart center. And that's where the balance begins, the connection. So when you breathe out on the exhale, you raise your hips up while your hand is on your sex center, on your genital. Your other hand is on your heart. Just gentle movement. You're already going to start feeling that connection. To allow yourself in a peaceful setting to feel aroused and to have that consciousness that this is spiritual because this is my connection to active relationship with God, Goddess, through the sex center. And that's an actual way to have an experience of bringing yourself pleasure that's very heart-centered for self-love. And then that starts to balance your chakras with your breathing and opens you up to developing all, you know, psychic abilities, everything.
Now, just for, you know, all intents and purposes, for those who may not know what the lingam and the yoni is, could you explain to us what lingam and yoni is?
Yes, sorry. Lingam and yoni are the Sanskrit words for the vagina and the penis. Lingam is penis. Yoni is vagina. I don't even say vagina much. It sounds like I'm going to the doctor for pap smear. But, you know, I normally say other words, you know. So, yes, that's what those words are.
What do you normally say?
I say pussy.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, I say pussy. I love it. You know, I love it.
Now, everybody on the line, just say pussy one time.
Pussy. I like it. My daughter like, why do we get to pussy everywhere we go? I think that's the word. That brings out the real feeling of how I am right now. When I started walking around with my hand between my legs and saying pussy, that's it. That was the link. So, yeah, okay, good. I'm glad we can say it, get it out there.
Okay.
So that's what it is. Yoni's pussy.
We have pussy power going on in the chat room.
That's right. Thank you. God, when I started doing pussy power groups back in the day, I brought the flyers in to put them up and in the center. She said, you can't use that word. I said, what? But it's pussy. She said, you can't use that, Goddess. So I had to change. That's why I had to really use the word yoni. Yoni, intensive yoni power and stuff like that. It's nice, yoni. It's a nice word.
Yeah,
but pussy
nice
really
word.
It brings you into, I think, your pussy power. And we own it, and it connects to our heart, and we connect that with the way that we shift our hips. You know, when we activating chakras, which are energy centers along our spine, they're the colors that we did in the meditation earlier, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, purple, or violet. When we're doing that with our pussy power, we really feel the energy moving in our second chakra and our third chakra and our heart center with the way that we exhale through our mouth, which is another power center, out through our crown. And these kind of exercises really connect the sex with the spirit. Spirit is consciousness, thought and action. So when we say sex and spirit, let's just make sure that we understand that it's about having our personal relationship with our creative life force, Goddess. That's the way I teach.
Okay. I have two questions in the chat room.
Yes.
One is, you were explaining the process earlier about raising your hips and breathing and meditation. Reverend Majati Baruti said, okay, will it, hold on. Is it the same process for men that you were explaining earlier?
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect, yes. Hip roll is the same.
Okay, and Mommy Sarood indicates, if this chat room can stop streaming. Ask her why doesn't she think women are having their GYN exams? Why no one asks if we have ejaculated yet? And before you answer that question, what is ejaculation for a female? What is female ejaculate? Because some people have never heard of that before.
Okay, yeah. Women, see, they say women physically, I'm just getting straight, squirt. That's just some women that actually squirt. We don't really have ejaculation. We have orgasms. We extend our energy field. And we can have multiple orgasms because of that. We have spasms in our yoni, and the first one that comes up is actually just the beginning for us, and we can continue to expand that energy and go into what they call 9 levels of arousal, where we can have the orgasm, the spasms that vibrate in our pussy, the wetness and everything that balances out our pH balance because of the orgasm. So yeah, we have some, you know, we get moist. The more and more moist we get is about how much more we can receive and how much more pleasure we can take in to have more orgasms. Some people have some women say that they squirt or they have some secretions. That's really moisture for us to be able to have more pleasure. And men ejaculate to give the seed for the blessing, for whatever choices they're doing it for, a procreation of life, to give the woman the energy, the nutrients that we want in our bodies also, that comes from the semen.
Hmm. All right. Okay, I know we have some more questions here. We got to have some questions here, so I'm going to go to the chat room. Let me see if caller from 804-244 has any comments or questions. Do you have any questions or comments? Okay. I guess she does not. Let's see here. Again, I'm going to give the call-in number. The call-in number is 646-716-7675. Do not be shy. Now's your chance to call in and speak to Reverend Goddess Charmaine on Tantra. So give us a call so you can ask your questions and, you know, make your comments. And I want to give a shout-out to everyone that's in the chat room. There's quite a few people in the chat room, so I'm not going to name all of you, but thank you for joining us today. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to plug it into the chat room or call in. Sister Magic, did you have any other questions or comments?
You know, I'm just... I'm intrigued by the conversation. I don't even know what to ask.
Well, can I go on?
Oh, yeah.
I can go on.
Oh, you can go on. Hold on. We have one question in the chat room right quick.
Okay.
Diva Mama, tantric work with war veterans.
Oh, okay. Yes. I wrote an erotic story 1 month called The Cleansing of Officer Bradley. And all my erotic stories are based off of some actual experience that I've had, and then I go off into the fantasy and applying the laws. I've worked with men that have come back from the Iraq war because they have sexual problems, or they have a lot of anger, or they cannot get an erection, or they are scared, they don't have like a desire, things like that. I incorporate a lot of sensual Reiki and breathing and just listening to them as they're going through shedding. And they need cleansing. So I can't say that every person that's come to me, I'm sure there's 2% out there that maybe didn't completely like or didn't find my work beneficial, but I can really say 98% of them have. I don't specifically choose to work with war veterans, but those that find me because God says it's time for me to work with them. So I approach it from that point with everyone that comes to have private sessions with me. But I found a lot of... men that have come to me for work are dealing with a lot of anger and mostly dealing with erection problems or even getting to the point of having some severe sexual addiction because they cannot have what we could, I'm using this word like straight sex, like penetration, then they go into some kind of deviant thoughts that really takes them away from the feelings that they're having about what they've experienced. So we need to really get into that through the body work and the talking. So they can get these energies out, and I believe that they need cleansing, like a ritual bath, aura smudging, things like that.
Okay. All right. The other question is from Mami Sarud. She wants to know about an elixir as an immortal elixir that the gods stood in line for.
You mean, like, as far as the yoni, like going to worship the yoni and tasting the yoni? Or you mean the actual...
I'm thinking, because I know Mami Saru, that that's probably exactly what she's speaking about. But let me see here.
Okay.
Okay, yes, she said that's what she's speaking about.
Okay, this is cool, because, you know, in my my lingam intensives that I do, which means penis, and the yoni intensives that I do, pussy, we talk about the worship of the yoni, the worship of the lingam. And one thing, and this is like, you know, like right now, just with us, right here, we're not even going to get into the past of how they used to sit on thrones or be carried or whatever, or a woman, they talk about Cleopatra, where the men worshipped her and masturbated around her and gave their offering all over her body to honor her. You have, right now, a woman that is being honored and worshipped by the people that honor the yoni as the portal to the goddess. Okay? You use olive oil and water, and you wash the yoni with that. And then as that yoni is washed, it's about prosperity. It's a prosperity ritual. You could do this even with the lingam. Or olive oil and water, and you wash it. And the person that's being honored. Then those would come to the yoni and pleasure it, or kiss it, smell it, touch it, asking for what they need in their community or what they need in their life. If they need fertility, they want to have children, or they need abundance of some sort, they come to worship the yoni in that way. And it goes on and on and on. The woman is a symbolic goddess. The goddess is through her yoni, and that's the portal to it. And that's the kind of worshiping I know of for the yoni. You could do the same thing with the lingam.
All right, we have a chat room full of questions, and I'm going to get to them all, hopefully, but it would be wonderful if some of our sisters would call in with these questions. That'll make it really fun to hear everyone's voices on the line. So the game fanatic, call in. I'm going to get to some of your questions, but call in. What is my call-in number? 646-716-7675. Again, it's 646-716-7675. And one of the questions that sister has is, she says, what do you do with yours, I guess, in terms of rituals, in terms of your yoni? That's what she's
okay. Just privately.
Oh, let me clarify right quick. Okay. She says, she also wants to know how our fluids can cure illnesses and make men immortal and things of that nature.
Wow. Make men immortal, what, keeping that lingam hard, or, you know, what, living forever, 620 years, the way they used to in the Old Testament, you know? that's a good question. Well, first of all, the yoni balance, the juices in the yoni, like the woman asked before about ejaculation is about the nutrients in the semen that has a purpose, right? So coming into the yoni juices, our juices flow when we are relaxed and aroused, and we secrete. We have a lot more of that. It doesn't necessarily have so much as the life force, like the seed goes to the egg and creates life, but what she's talking about is when men can suckle and eat this, it's healthy for them. It softens the lips. It's good for them, you know? But it doesn't have the same, like, protein as it does, as the semen has. It's more about that woman's energy and her balance, her pH balance. You balance your pH through spiritual baths like I do. I do a baking soda bath 1 to 3 times per week. You shower first. Then after you shower, you let the water run out. And then you get into a tub and you put a cup of baking soda. You let that water run. And you spread your legs and you do the PC muscle exercise. And you squeeze and release, letting that water flow through your yoni. And you can let your whole body submerge into the baking soda water because it cleanses the aura and it softens your skin. I have very soft, beautiful skin through these kind of exercises. I squeeze my PC and I hold my hand there. I stimulate a little bit, but not just to raise it up, just to get my clit a little bit, you know, swollen up so that that part of me can also receive the cleansing from the baking soda water.
All right, let's go to the switchboard. We have, let's see, I'm going to get to 478 in just one moment. 678, Brother Majadi, is that you?
Actually, it's Enlighten Me, Please.
Oh, Enlighten Me, Please, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right. It's okay.
How are you today, sis?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great.
I'm enjoying the show. This is right up my alley.
I'm so happy.
Yeah. Thank you, Goddess Shermaine.
Thank you.
I have a question. I have a friend that, well, actually, I have two questions. One is ejaculation versus ejaculation. What is the difference in what is the benefit of the benefits or the disadvantages of either one?
Okay. Ejaculation is when the ejaculation comes out of the penis. You know, the arouse, the prostate pumps, it goes through the urethra, ejaculate. Ejaculation is having the same experience of the ejaculation, except that what you're doing now is you're pressing just between the testicles and the anus. There's an opening that's just beyond the PC muscle for the men. There's a little dent there. If you press that, it doesn't hurt. What happens when the prostate pumps to push the semen into the urethra, it pushes it back into the body. And the man receives the nutrients of his own semen.
So he's and not losing nutrients.
He's not losing.
Right,
because when a man is ejaculating, he is giving that gift to the person that is receiving it in their body. If a man is ejaculating outside of the body, it is considered spilling the seed, and he should just simply bless it if he's outside of the body. Say, I bless my semen. Okay, so we bring that consciousness back into the power of the seed, the gift that he's giving.
And
he, okay? Ejaculation is, the purpose of ejaculating is bringing the strength back into his body. He can also maintain his erection for a little bit longer after ejaculating to even probably even continue penetrating for a while. And over a period of time, the belief is if you ejaculate 5 times a week and ejaculate 2 times a week, if a man is having sex like that, that's better for you than ejaculating often. But you can always have the arousal. The importance of having sex and being aroused and having the orgasm is very, very important for the body to, for the man to maintain their strength. So raising the sexual vibration is really important, and the health and the longevity that a man receives over ejaculating is important. Now, if a man is not has a goal in his head that part of this is to ejaculate, and he ejaculates, he may have, like, in his consciousness, not feel because he doesn't see the semen or it goes someplace. He might be uncomfortable about that. And because we go into programming of goal, and so the goal of sex is to ejaculate, when really it is to give the semen when you want to bless, you know. And even in self-love, the process is about love. Even when he ejaculates, it's important when a man ejaculates to even honor his semen and say, I bless my semen. I say a prayer that's a little bit more elaborate, you know, but, you know, my lovers and my boyfriend back in the day got so programmed, so you didn't bless my semen and running around, you know. Hey, that's the only time you bless it is if it is outside of the body. Once a person allows you to ejaculate inside of them, and whatever, mouth, anus, or pussy, that is the gift. If I lay with you and I let you put that semen into my body, that is the gift. There is no need to bless it because it is being blessed by the person receiving it. But if it's outside the body, you bless it. Ejaculation is there for strength, for also helping a man to learn how to do that to last longer and have stronger erections through the practice of ejaculation. But you should balance it out. Ejaculate some, ejaculate more, ejaculate more.
Okay. And I have one last question, if that's okay.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be cool.
Oh, sure, right on ahead. Oh, sorry. I was just grinning from ear to ear. I have a friend that has difficulties ejaculating unless it's oral. Is there, like, something?
So he's not able to ejaculate inside?
Like vaginally, no.
By vaginal, right.
It's very it's challenging.
Interesting.
Well, I'm not the guest, I'm just the host, but it sounds to me like it may be an issue with the male. It's not a sexual related directly issue at all.
Because, you know, inside the yoni, you know, I've had people that what we call IMO, inhibited male orgasm.
Yeah,
and I
think that's what it is.
Yeah, it's inhibited male orgasm, and they cannot ejaculate in the yoni, and so they come and they do other things, you know, oral or manual to bring themselves there. That's a tough question because it's an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
First, basic problem with IMO, and you say this as a friend, first basic problem with IMO is, you know, dislike of women or angry with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get into, men are very, very emotional. Even though
yes,
it seems like we're so emotional, these men, when they're making love and they're throwing down, they are very, very connected to that experience. And if we're having some sexual problems, it's coming from an emotional place for a man. Men are more like, in bed than women. So we women need to really recognize that how tender and valuable what's happening when we're having sex with the man is. So if he's dealing with IMO, he's holding back inside of the yoni. He's not giving that gift in the womb. And there's a reason why he's not doing it. I can't think it's just physical where he needs more friction, where maybe the yoni and the lingam aren't compatible. But if it's going on with this person on a regular basis with other people, then you can look at it being more of an individual. And that's a tough thing to answer because I don't know the person. That's really private work.
Okay.
You know?
And so we can, consult you for that?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. I do phone sessions as well as in-person sessions and groups, girl. We got it going on. You can connect.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I appreciate
you giving me the opportunity to get some knowledge from you. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings.
All right. Let's see. We have area code 478.
Did I answer your question?
Huh?
All right. Area code 478.
Hello, everybody. How are y'all doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. This is the Goddess Network. Peace to everybody in the chat room.
Peace.
Hey, I have two questions. First question is, for a sister that is in a relationship with someone, be it, boyfriend or married, what type of sexual rituals or anything that she can do with the guy, let's say before she even has sex with him, that helps him to cleanse his chakra, to cleanse any, negative trauma connected to any this life or any past life, any issues around sexuality, be it he has been molested or anything in his past? Because I'm finding out the more and more I talk with people that not only the sisters have a lot of, repressed sexual energy, but men do too. They just deal with it a different way.
Yeah.
So being that you are with somebody, what type of techniques or rituals that you can do to kind of cleanse that sexual energy or that trauma before you all even engage in the act?
Okay. I would say consciousness is very important. Intention is very important, why you're doing a particular ritual. So it should be stated, honey, we're going to do some 2 or 3 cleansing exercises to remove us from the programming of our past bondages. From our families, our DNA programming, from slavery, you name it. You put it out there, right? That's the first thing that's really important, that we have clear intention if two people are together wanting to cleanse themselves of this. And then you write that down. You put that down. You have that there. You place that on the altar. Or you light a candle and place that there. The candle is lit as spirit, as consciousness for us, so we can direct our focus there. Then there's an egg ritual. I don't know if you heard about this.
No.
You take an egg and you rub it on your genitals. Eggs absorb energy. You can take an egg. You can cast the egg around your aura, around your body, and you throw the egg out and you break it, and it absorbs that negativity. But first you just take this egg and you just rub it on your genitals. Okay, I've done this in some drumming circles with women to really break a lot of the stuff that we've gone through in slavery from my own people, as well. So, and the women in my family. So I've done a lot of this egg ritual, just rubbing it on the genitals, and then cracking it, breaking it, and throwing it away. So I would even, crack it, if you don't have a space where you can go out in the backyard and just crack it and just get rid of it, you throw it in your garbage, but take the garbage out. It's an act. It's a ritual. It's a movement, moving away from that negativity.
So when you crack the egg, if we can do it outside, do you recommend that we bury the egg or just put the egg somewhere in the earth?
Yeah, it's cool. If you bury it, but you want to make sure you slam it down and you crack it. So if you have to do it, outside on the sidewalk and it's cracked, what I do outside, my door, it just goes away. I just throw it, on the side of the house in the yard over there, and I just crack it, and it breaks up. And I just maybe take some of the shells and throw that out, but let the rest of that seep into the earth.
How often do you recommend this to be done, as long or until you feel that you don't need to do it anymore?
Yes, because I used to do it, not even just for the genitals. I used to do it with my kids just before they go to school. It's like a protection. It just wipes negativity off of them. So they don't, a lot of times people carry certain vibes on them too. And they keep having more of those experiences. It's like we have to use our spiritual tools, our powers to invoke the spirit of protection on us and disengage from that bondage,
Okay,
so
hold on.
Yes.
So you better raw egg or a boiled egg?
Okay, raw egg. Don't cook it. Raw egg.
Okay.
And you wipe it all over your child or just your child's genitals?
Oh, no. I do the whole child, all over the body, and I crack that bad boy. And you crack it hard because some of those eggs can be pretty resistant. You know, they don't break as easily. And if there's a lot of negativity going on, it may be even harder to break. You can really do this. You can really try this. Besides breaking outside, in rituals I do where I'm indoors, we have a big bowl, and we rub ourselves with this egg until this egg is hot. It changes climate. You know it's rubbing. It's taking the energy that's on your body. Then we crack it in a large bowl. And then I take that bowl and I pour it into a bag and I take that thing out. I've done it that way in group settings as well. You could do that with your partner, one-on-one. Also, baking soda baths are very, very helpful, especially for the genitals and cleansing, especially for women in balancing the pH, but it also removes bacteria, okay, in the tip of the lingam. That cleanses it. It removes bacteria in the body.
So how do you use the baking powder, the baking soda?
You shower first. And then after you shower, you run half a tub of water, you throw in a cup of baking soda. You let that baking soda dissolve in the water, splash it around, and you open your legs and you do the PC muscle squeeze. Squeeze and release the PC muscle. It's the muscle you would use if you were urinating and you wanted to stop the flow. That's the PC, pubic coccyx muscle. Men and women can do this, and as you're squeezing and releasing, especially for the woman, this water just, I push it back and forth in the water, my PC. So my lips are opening and closing and receiving the baking soda water, and it's cleansing my yoni. Same thing with the guys, because guys, they can have bacteria in the tip. So if they're in it, you're giving him a baking soda bath, and you're just cleansing the whole body, and you just kind of like take the mushroom. Mushroom is the tip of the lingam that's shaped like a mushroom. Just kind of open the opening right there and let that water flush in. And then for 8 minutes, really, you're supposed to be in the water, and you're supposed to be about cleansing. It's just supposed to be relaxed and just clear and see all negativity gone. Then the other intimacy exercises you can do to reestablish a psychic connection, psychic sexual connection through before you go into actual intercourse.
Thank you. You've answered all my questions. I have one more, then I'll get off the mic.
Goddess Network, can we come back to you in just
a moment? Oh, sure.
All right. Okay. We have a caller, a person who's calling in the chat room that has an important question. I'm waiting for them to call in. But while I'm waiting for them to call in, wow, we have to hurry up and get you back on this show immediately. Everyone in the chat room is thoroughly enjoying themselves, and I am too.
Oh, that's a blessing. Thanks, guys.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone is just loving this information you're giving out. I told you the information you're giving out, we really need it.
Yes, babe. Okay, I hear you.
Really
confirmation.
Need that. All right, let's take the area code 618. State your name and where you're calling from.
Peace, blessings, and eternal happiness, Queen. This is Jacques and I calling from St. Louis, Missouri. How are you?
Wonderful.
Peace.
Hey.
Peace, brother.
Great,
all right,
great.
You had a question?
Yes, I do. I have a question regarding if there's a comedic ritual or a comedic ordeal for masturbation in men and women. What are the benefits of masturbation? I know some people don't want to deal with it. I've heard various rumors about it. It's good, it's bad, you know. The comedic, I was told that there's a more spiritual and comedic connection with masturbation. Is that so? And if how, what are the benefits versus the effects of masturbation for men and also masturbation for women?
On my website, thesensuousmystic.com, there's a CD that I created called The Holy Body. It is a masturbation meditation. I have another one there. It's Breathing Love as well. And I teach this particular exercise. I'm going to answer a question in my Holy Body retreats. It's the art of self-loving. There is nothing negative about masturbation. Consciousness is what is important. People are masturbating for profane reasons, maybe because they're addicted or attracted to something, and so they're using that and they're masturbating and they're spilling out their energy. They're not balancing their chakras. So masturbation in itself is a relationship you have to your genitals and the way that you love yourself there and how you take that pleasure and move it through your entire body. I always tell people, I get up in the morning, I have my morning masturbation meditation. And in that, I am self-loving. I just touch myself gently. I touch myself in various parts of my body. And I say a private prayer that I have for me and Goddess, to be there with her. And then, because remember, the goddess, the divinity is in the body. The free will, the relationship we have to goddess is in our bodies. So in touching myself, then you're raising your vibration. As soon as we become aroused, okay, we're strengthening our energy fields. Our chakras, our energy centers are spinning. So the more we are, when we're masturbating and giving self-love, pleasure, we're getting in touch with our bodies and our body spirit. Spirit is consciousness in our bodies, and we know how we feel and how good it is. Now you bring in consciousness. Consciousness is whatever you're thinking about while you're self-pleasuring. For me, it's my body. It's the chakras. It's something that I might want to manifest in my life. It's specific, something that gives me the energy to what I call sex magic, to create something that I want in my life, or to just simply use what I'm doing in this moment to enhance my body, to balance my chakras, and to feel the strength of that orgasm that stays in your energy field all day. There's no side effect, negative side effect to masturbation, except if we're misusing the energy through what I call creating a hole in your soul by sexualizing and stealing energy from a force, an energy, or a person that doesn't know about it. Okay? If you're fantasizing about something or someone that you have not been with, they are unaware of your attraction to them. I put my energy out there on my site. I write about it. People are always eroticized by my presence. I offer that so no one can steal energy from me sexually. But if you're masturbating and you're focusing on, like, pornography, or you're thinking about somebody, a friend's wife or something, and that person is not aware of that connection, that is going to put you in a space of imbalance. Mm. So it's consciousness. It's not the masturbation act. It is the consciousness of what we're doing with our sexual energy that is unhealthy for us and can create sexual addictions. All right? A healthy fantasy. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that was my next question. Of course, the other person must be made aware. Now, there's a more spiritual connection once the other individual is made aware and is consensual. But what are those spiritual benefits for, you know, if you're masturbating by yourself and then that other individual is masturbating at the same time? Can you feel that spiritual connection between the both of you once?
Yes, it's called spiritual sex. Like people used to say to me, people I meet at tantra groups, "Hey, goddess, I'll see you in the spirit world tonight." I know what they meant. They're going to be masturbated, thinking about the goddess. It's all right with me because it's only a blessing, empowered energy, and we feel that. You do all kinds of psychic work with people. We always do. We just didn't incorporate the sex. You ever tell someone, okay, I'm going to do distant Reiki on you tonight at 11:30 for 25 minutes? They know. They feel it. They feel better when they wake up. It's the same thing. It's just now we're incorporating sexual energy in a more direct, deliberate, strengthening way, masturbating, you know. Now, listen, I want to say this. A healthy fantasy, okay? When you're masturbating, you want to focus on something that you have done that's brought you a lot of sexual pleasure and delight, or something that you know you can do, something you can create. Those are the best fantasies to use, okay? Then if you're using fantasy as far as, like I said, being attracted to another person, as long as, if you haven't been with the person, if I'm attracted to my neighbor, I may be attracted and aroused by his broad shoulders or their spirituality, but I'm not really going to bring them into my sexual masturbation fantasy unless I've had some kind of contact with them in a way that most people know me and know my vibe and they would welcome it. But you really don't, once you start really fantasizing about someone that you cannot create anything with, you start to create like unhealthy attachment or what I call an addiction. So your best fantasies are something that you can create or something that you have done that's brought you a lot of pleasure, and you just keep strengthening that. But when you got a connection with someone that you can use in your fantasies, that's nice. And then you'll always bring it back to your body, to your chakras. You don't have to bring anyone into it at all. It's just for you, and it's very, very healthy to do masturbation meditation on a regular basis. Do not masturbate because you're lonely and you're like, ooh, boo-hoo, pity me, I can't have sex with anybody, so now I got to masturbate because I'm all by myself. That's a bondage. That's bondage. Mm-hmm. Don't do that to yourself. You should just meditate then. Okay.
Now, can we clear up the
sure, go ahead. I guess give us the information regarding your show.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead and give us the information regarding your show that you have here on blog.
Good deal. Thank you so much. Yeah, my name is Jacques, and I'm a television, I am a television talk show host, but I'm also doing a radio host program here on Blog Talk Radio. It's blogtalkradio.com/Yahkanahan09, and the spelling of my name is Y-A-H-K-H-A-H-N-A-H-N 9 and I'll be doing that at approximately 3 o'clock, so that's about 30 more minutes Central Standard Time. Last question, and I know you guys have plenty of other callers. Now, regarding the myths of masturbating too often, causing blindness in men, is that a myth or is that, in fact, reality?
Really, the thing about it is if they're ejaculating a lot, masturbation does not have to include ejaculation. Like the other caller asked, it can include ejaculation or no ejaculation at all. It's about self-love. It's about raising that vibration up for a purpose of balance, of strength. If you're ejaculating a lot, some people get addicted to the ejaculation, and that's why they're masturbating. Mm-hmm. That goes back into goal orientation, which is unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no, you're not. We're not supposed to be able to do anything to ourselves sexually that's going to harm us unless we understand the purpose of what we're doing and why we're doing it. If it's harming you, you're not even conscious. You're probably being just controlled like some sexual machine that says, oh, my dick is hard, now I got to go come. No. We got to take a relationship with our bodies that is spiritual. And I'm masturbating. My yoni, I'm cooking, and my yoni says, doop, doop, doop. I said, ooh, come on. I'm like, I gotta finish cooking. So I'll do my meditation where I bring the energy up my spine and down the front of my body and balance that out. And I use it in whatever else I'm doing. So if men shouldn't be drying themselves out and having, if you have thick and white semen, healthy semen. Thin and loose semen, unhealthy semen. Prostate issues, you're masturbating too much, you don't know what you're doing with the energy. Because you go into goal orientation rather than the masturbation is about self-love, cultivating energy and strength and health. It's very good for you. Keeps your eyes clear. Clear white eyes. Not no yellow stains going around your eyes and all this stuff. I can go on forever, but I got to stop. But you get my point?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Queen. Peace, blessings, and eternal happiness.
All right. Okay.
It gets me a little riled up when people start talking about something's bad for them. It's not.
Okay. All right, we have some questions in the chat room. We've had questions for a while, but I've been trying to take some of the phone calls. We have to get you back on very soon.
Okay.
Let's see. There was a question about using vinegar for baths.
Yeah, I know a lot of people talk about vinegar. If you're not really sure about the proper balance for vinegar, you're going to go off your pH balance, and you're going to create yeast infection.
And there's another question here in reference to Diva Mama indicates she read the Clitoral Truth and that we actually began masturbating and self-pleasure in the womb and that this is the most natural form of meditation.
Isn't that a great book?
Existence.
Of course we're touching ourselves in the womb and we're touching ourselves as babies, And what do these other people have to do? Smack your hands. Don't touch yourself there, and start the programming. Clitoral Truth is a great book. And, yes. So, I agree.
Okay. And let's see. Mami Saru, she wants to know about detoxing. She mentioned earlier about some of the semen is not good for you because it's not pH balanced. And she wanted to know about detoxing from semen in our vaginal area or our ligament and yoni areas that are not pH balanced.
She's right on right there. Let me tell you something. First of all, again, I've been talking about it a lot throughout the call. The baking soda bath is a great way to cleanse the yoni from semen. Now, if you're having sex and your man ejaculates in your pussy, and then you notice a couple hours later or the next morning there's a foul smell coming out of your yoni, it's some bad semen. You take a baking soda bath. I tend to flush as well. After I shower, before I run my bath, I'll put my legs up under the faucet and run it and let it clean my yoni out as well. Now, I haven't had any real I remember, man, back in the day being with some stank semen, and it was like, what was that? And finding out so many ways to keep a pH balance. Acidophilus is very, very good to incorporate into your body. It's the good bacteria that we need that eats the bad bacteria in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's very important. And you want to also, when you're going into oral sex, a lot of times when people have bad stuff going on with their semen and their yonis, the mouth is the dirtiest part of the body. And if you're eating any yeasty foods, like bread and cheese, like that, and then, we're having sex. It's all around ritual or maybe dinner, the way people go into having sex with each other and kissing. Now, if your mouth is not clean and you've had some cheese or something and you go down on the yoni, that yeast goes into the yoni, into the hot oven. and we're forming bacteria. It happens all the time, and we're thinking, what's going on with us? You know, and we're getting reoccurring yeast infections. Something else I want to say about healthy lingam, healthy yoni. Besides, if your mouth, women and men, all of us, our mouths should be clean if we're going to have oral sex, because it can go into the tip of the lingam, it can go into our yoni, and most of the time it's the women more often, because a guy, as soon as he ejaculates, he's pushing out germs, but as well as after the ejaculation, when men urinate, they can push out a lot of germs they might have gotten from the yoni or from the mouth, easier than a woman can. God, what was the other thing I wanted to say? Shoot. Yeah. I can't remember it right now.
We've got about 17 minutes remaining.
Okay.
So anyone that wants to call in, the number is 646-716-7675.
One more thing about the yoni.
Shoot.
I'm sorry. I forgot the last part I wanted to say about the lingam and the health. It will come back to me. Forgot. Okay, another question?
Let me go back to the switchboard. We are going to go to Goddess Network, area code 478. Did you still have those questions?
Yeah, I just enjoy the show, and I'm just writing all this stuff down, so I was in no hurry.
I'm not writing anything down. I'm going to go back and listen to the archive.
Everybody
who didn't catch it from the beginning needs to listen to it from the beginning in archive, because there was a very important meditation. For anyone who has a question about balancing chakras and things of that nature, that meditation that we did at the beginning was great.
Cool. I'm going to go back and listen to the beginning. She just said something else that made me question something else, but I'll contact you offline because about a lot of these sex cults and stuff, because I'll talk to you about that later, because I want to get your input on that, especially
okay.
What you just said about certain semen you're not supposed to be taking, but, you know, a lot of us are swinging and stuff like that, so I'll talk to you about that later.
Okay,
but my question was someone in the chat room asked, and I wanted to ask you this too, just because sexuality with black women is just so up and down, how do you, if you have a partner, go into, you know, I don't want sex all the time, I want a higher form of consciousness, get more into the tantric rituals, without hurting his ego, because just because, you know, you walk around naked don't mean you always want to, you know, do something.
Of course.
So
right.
How do you do that when some of the brothers' egos are, you know, kind of bruised?
So it's going to be one of two things going to be going on. Either they're going to leave the fold, you know, and we're going to bring in the vibration that is appropriate for what we want to manifest in our lives, or they're going to be open. Now, we need to understand something when we're talking about, like we were talking about earlier about taking energy away and trying to control people, right? When I brought this information, I had a relationship with a guy that was not into Tantra or anything. He wasn't really a nudist, you know, but we just kind of clicked. And I said to him, you know, I really like how I feel when I'm with you. And my life also incorporates ritual. Would you mind sharing and doing a full moon ritual with me? It's not about me not wanting to be with him, but if we're together and I'm exploring and I live this way, we should want to understand about more and more about our partner. So if you present it in a way like that, we're talking about love. Forms of love is care, respect, knowledge, and responsibility. So it's not about hurting a man's ego so much. It's not about I want to take this to another level. Can we experiment with that together? You know, because I really want to share it with you. And I hope that that person that you would give this kind of information to, you would say that, would want to know more about what it is that you want to do. Guys always like it. They say, they always want to, oh, I like giving women pleasure. But really what it turns out to be, they like seeing women have pleasure because it makes their egos feel good, or I can get her off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's not right. I know good and well when a guy's telling me that, I'm like, he don't even know what the hell he's talking about. And he's open to the goddess. He don't even know it. You know, he's not going to have a chance to get next to my yoni because he's not worthy.
Right.
So when you get into that, we have to have our own righteous judgment. So either the guy is going to understand that and want to learn about it, and he did. I was with this guy for 5 years. I got him to the point where he was very comfortable and even running couples groups with me just based on the stuff that we did privately. He was not a nudist or wasn't even studying Tantra as far as whatever he was doing with me. But our energy was able to do that dance for 5 years. And then it evolved out, you know. I mean, I'm going someplace else with this now. So you have to see that for yourself as far as the way you approach your man. And you're not taking away his manhood because you say, I want to explore our sexual connection in various ways. And it doesn't all include genitals. And, you know, when you want to give that energy, if he wants to know you and know what's going on with you, I would hope that he would say yes to wanting to have that experience with you. If not, we evolve out of those relationships, and it's nothing but, you know, the law. One door closes, another one opens. So, you know, we just got to be real about what's happening. I hope that helps.
All right. Goddess, did you have any other questions? Okay.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Okay, we have a question in the chat room. Diet before sex.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, they talk about eating lightly. A lot of, see, we're in our society, like I said earlier about dinner and sex, you incorporate, like, ritual dancing and dinner before sex. You should have light. Your body shouldn't be digesting food when you're trying to have sex. So if you're having dinner, you should be able to wait 2 hours before you choose to have sex so that your body can balance out the food properly, and then you can be a full service when you're sharing yourself, and then the chakras can do the work that it was supposed to do in sharing pleasure.
Okay, and there's a question or a comment. Oh, yes, he says not a question. Never mind. See, I've heard things about drinking and eating fruit mostly prior to having sex. Do you have any comments or anything in reference to that?
Yeah, well, it's like aphrodisiacs. The goddess communion that a couple does is with fruit and wine. And the fruit is the body, and you say my body to your body, and you either eat the fruit or you feed the fruit to the other person. And then you drink the wine, and you say my spirit to your spirit, or my blood to your blood. And you're talking about the bodies becoming one. And so that's probably why she heard that about fruit and wine, because that's what the body is representing in the fruit and wine, the blood.
Hmm.
They have
that's
certain...
That's a righteous communion.
Yes. Nice, yeah. So, you know, the heart salutation, you know, you place your hands in front of your heart and you bow, you say, I honor the goddess in you, or I honor the divine in you. The woman says to the man, I honor the god in you. The man says, I honor the goddess in you. And if you're in same-sex relationships, they say, I honor the divine in you, going into that part as well. You don't want to... And that's just the right of free will. That's what it's about, divinity.
All right, let's see. Wow. This is a very interesting, very enlightening show today. We have 10 minutes remaining. So if anyone has any questions or comments, please feel free to call in 646-716-7675. I'm going to check with my co-host again and see if she has any other questions.
No questions, just enjoying the show.
Sister Magic, right?
Always so
yes.
Quiet. Yes, that's Sister Magic.
I like that.
Her name is Black Magic.
Nice. In my initiation, I was when my goddess initiation, the first name I was called was Black Mary after the ceremony. Until then, you know, then just incorporated Reverend Goddess came through, you know, getting into that black woman spirit, changing and breaking the bondage that we've been going through as far as healing our wounds. Women need, one thing is a ceremony that I do in healing my relationships with women. We need to be able to go into what we call a sisterhood, brotherhood consciousness, even sexually, where we are understanding that all people have, well, of course we know this, but honoring that sexual vibration in all people, where we're not into what I call a separatist attitude, what I have, what you don't have, you know, or I wish I had that. A lot of the reasons why we have some of the sexual problems that we have is because we're separating ourselves from each other, and I find that a lot of times in my work, it's the women that I see have more unwillingness to get together with other women and heal these jealousies or things that we have from each other, and it really incorporates itself in our sex region, in the sex center. So we need to break a lot of those curses, you know, in the way that we honor each other. You know, when you say to someone that, you know, I honor you, Goddess, I honor you, sister. Whenever you go into that space, you are releasing any negativity or any separatist attitudes that we've had in the past. So that's really what's going on with honoring. And we need to do that as well as wanting our women to feel beautiful and bold. Nowadays, more and more women are coming up to other women and saying, well, you look great today. You look beautiful. We used to not even do that. We used to just we wanted to be the only pretty ones in the room. But spiritually, as we become whole and we incorporate Tantra into our lifestyles, we see the goddess in everyone. And that's really very important in releasing any anger or resentment or jealousies that we could have as a whole, as the woman, as the body of Goddess. Because then all the parts come together and we're all together. We're here for a reason, to bring that consciousness up together. I can't do this without you, Tara. You know? And that's important, to honor each other in that way as well.
All right, all right. Wow. I think we need to have you come back. I've said that several times before. But, I mean, what you just mentioned, the healing between sisters alone,
mm-hmm.
is something that has to happen. It has to happen because, as you mentioned, you could walk in a room full of women and you'd have each woman trying to be, oh, I'm the hottest thing in here, it's me, instead of just saying, you know what, you look good today, you look
yes.
good today, I honor you. Why not, you know, it's to a point where a lot of our, especially black women, are competing with each other.
And you know what? And it's our way for survival on one level, but it really happened because of the separatist programming, and it didn't even come from black people. But if we're talking about the original goddess as black woman, the black woman that is allowed to be black right now, if you look at your skin, we are the ones that have to bring ourselves back together and honoring each
Thank
other
you.
For the whole of the goddess body and the African
Thank
woman
you.
To take care. We can channel each other's energies to each other. My medicine animal is a turtle. That's Mother Goddess. I am here to heal female issues. You know, then you have another way of doing it. So all of our connections come together as a whole body of goddess if we first see it in each other and honor each other for that. That's how, when the other brother is talking about honoring the original woman as the African woman, as the goddess woman, that's how that energy is going to happen. And it is happening because we are having this conversation. So women are starting to do it. I found that I've been doing so much more healing and honoring women, buying them flowers and just wanting to be around the energy and loving them the way I love myself. But we didn't do that before. And we'll see magic happening that we're all coming together like this. You know, that woman that wants to heal her relationship with her man is going to happen by her healing, honoring her relationship with her black woman.
Exactly. You cannot heal your relationship with your family. You can't heal your relationship with your significant other until you go to yourself and heal yourself. And if you yourself are a black woman, that encompasses healing other black women.
Right.
You
right.
get your healing.
Right. Because still, I run my groups, I still have less women come into the women's groups than I have men. Men are knocking our doors to get in touch with us for various reasons. And the women are coming, but it's almost like this bondage, this resistance to wanting the whole to really happen, wanting that healing to take place. Like something's like keeping us away, something else gets in the way of that workshop or that sister-to-sister healing circle, you know? And we got to stop letting that go on.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make a call out to everybody listening to this show, whether it's live, in the chat room, or online, or in archive. Everyone needs to try at least to start some sister circle groups in their local communities. If not local communities, then online. But we all need to have, you know, reach out to each other and spread that love, spread that goddess energy, and, you know, do what we have to do.
And empowering each other, yeah.
Yes, empowering ourselves and,
yes.
you know, meditating and, you know, all of that. We've got to get into that because that's the only way to get ourselves right and to get this healing that
mm-hmm.
needs to take place between us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got it.
And Brother Majadi Baruti is doing the congregation there in North Carolina. I am one of the sisters who helped form a sister circle here in Richmond, Virginia. So if you're in the Richmond, Virginia area, you don't mind traveling, holler at me. and I want to see everybody doing this. I want to see everybody doing it. And everybody, please go to Reverend Goddess Charmaine's website, sensuousmystic.com, and take a look at her information she has there. And we will have her back on the show because the information she's sharing is just amazing. And again, I want to just say thank you and our Goddess blessings to you for everything
thank you, baby.
You've been doing and what you've shared today.
Thank you. Goddess blessings to you, too, and to everyone listening and sharing today.
All right. Well, we're going to head on out. And, again, I thank you for coming to the show today, and we would definitely have you back. So I will talk with you off air about coming back on to the show.
Okay. Terrific. Thanks, Goddess
All
Tara.
All right.
Blessings. Bye, Sister Magic. Okay. See ya. Blessings.
Peace.
Hey, babe.
Thank you.